Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, how often do you get to visit different churches?
Oh, Dean, I think I'm incredibly different than most people because I have been to so many different churches in my lifetime. I'm old, I'm 77, and I have visited, I'm not just talking Protestant churches, because there's a phenomenal variance in terms of Protestant churches, and I've been in, you name it, and I've been to those services, and I've been in numbers of Catholic services, talked with the priest in terms of their sermons and so on. I've been in Orthodox services. So I have just phenomenal exposure, for which I'm very grateful. And I'm also aware, when I talk to my friends, that most of them have been to very, very few churches. Their exposure is extremely limited, and that's because they're good church people. They go to the same church week after week after week. So if someone is in a mega church, they have no understanding whatsoever what, say, a small congregation goes through and the struggles and benefits and the closeness of those. And I'm amazed how many people have, because of their background, they've been in, say, a Reformed church for all their lives. They have no understanding of contemporary services, what are going on. I shouldn't have picked a denomination because it could be any denomination, but most people are very, very limited in terms of their exposure to the broader church world. Now, radio and television have opened up that some, but even so, their Sunday morning experience is kind of rutted in terms of what they're used to. So, yeah, I would say I'm probably fortunate in the wide exposure. In fact, I should add to that, not only in terms of the United States, but all over the world, I've been in different church services. And I'm aware of the incredible complexity of the Christian faith and how it's expressed by so many different people.
If you were looking for a church to attend regularly, what's the most important factor you would look for?
Well, you could guess that, couldn't you? I am always interested in what the pastor is going to say, and so the sermon is probably what is most important to me. Not exclusively important, but I will listen to the sermon, and I've gotten myself to the place where I'm not as critical as I used to be. I can hear a sermon, and if it's not the way I would normally form a sermon, I don't just write it out. I listen and say, what did God say to me through the sermon? And I can usually find something that is profitable to me. So I'm not a snob in terms of what I'm looking for in a sermon, but I can also say, if I heard that minister week after week, I would really profit from him or her. Or if I heard that kind of a sermon week after week, I would go out of my mind. You know, that would be very painful for me. It's like somebody who's a musician. If I heard someone sing off-key week after week after week, I just have to adjust my whole mindset that I'm going to church and they're going to sing off-key, or otherwise I'd say I have to go somewhere else. So sermon, that's where I am, okay?
All right. What would be the second most important thing you'd look for?
I think that the worship, which I don't equate with the music, but certainly involves the music a great deal, was it God-focused? Was I able to say, God, I'm so glad that you are like the church was proclaiming you to be? So use the word music, because usually music is associated with the worship part. I would include in that the pastoral prayer, all the different things that are what you're saying to God. But if the music is good, I am not a good musician. I've been trained, and I can read music, and I understand music, and have been a part of musical groups, but that would probably be the second thing. If I were the pastor, it would be the first thing I would go for. I want a good music or worship director. So that's second.
Do you think most people approach finding a church like you would?
Well, I used to think that they were like I am, but now I know that they are not. People choose churches for reasons totally unlike myself. People choose churches because they have a new baby, and what is the nursery like? People choose churches because of the program that they have for the teenagers, if they have teenagers, and that is very important to them. Some people will choose a church depending on just the aesthetics of the church. You know, they say, I can't worship in a school auditorium or something. You know, it's just not the same. I need the stained glass. I need the arching architecture of the traditional church building and so on. So people have all kinds of different reasons. And I think that what's important to me, a lot of times that what the pastor says isn't important to them at all. It's just, he's a nice guy. You know, I like him or I like her. And that's how they pick things. So I am in a position that I say, everybody is not like I am.
So in talking about the subject of finding a church, have we hit on the most major concerns a visitor might have?
Probably not. I think that I've talked to enough people who say, I couldn't park within 3 blocks of the church. I had to walk for 3 blocks and it was drizzling outside, you know, and that bugs them. So that parking is a big thing for some people. Another thing that I invited people to church, they went with me. The church was to start at 10:30. The church service started about probably 8 minutes after that time. And that was a very disconcerting thing to my guests, because when we walked in, we sat down, and at 10:30 it didn't start. It just kind of, it didn't even start officially. It just kind of, the musicians, the worship leaders got up and started, you know, gathering the people, and let's start. Well, it starts on time. I wouldn't rate that real high, but that was a high thing to my guests that morning. I think a lot of people say how they are greeted when they come. You know, was I made to feel like I was welcome, or did I just sit down and nobody paid attention to me? And when I left, you know, nobody said anything to me. I might as well not have been there. So there are all kinds of different things that people respond to when they visit a church, and those are not the same kind of things that I respond to.
What are we wanting pastors to hear us say about this particular aspect of church life?
Well, I think I put it this way, Dean. Because long before the message is given, most visitors have already made up their minds about whether or not they're going to return for a second time. Ministers would do well to not think exclusively about the sermon, because the newcomers have decided even before they hear your sermon whether they're going to come back again or not. So you have to have in your mind, what is the whole process of when these people come, and how are they responding so that they are open, and then my sermon becomes, ooh, that was really good, on top of all these other good things that have happened to us. And if the minister doesn't understand that, he or she may preach a winger of a sermon, but it's already been defeated by the rest of the aspects in terms of where the church is.
Do you think a single pastor can handle all of the aspects of a service?
The answer to that is obviously yes, because a lot of pastors do. There are pastors who are insensitive to those areas, and they pay a price for that. So yes, and it doesn't mean that you have to bring an umbrella to the person who parks furthest away, and you do everything. It's not a one-man show, but you do organize the church in such a way that you have tried to cover all the things that might be barriers to people, including just when they walk in, where to go, you know, if it's winter, where do I put my coats? That kind of thing. If they have children, you know, is somebody greeting them, showing them the signage of the church? All that's important. And I remember one guy who I invited to church. I could give you his name, and I told him where the church was and everything, and he came, and he didn't know what entrance to go into because it was a large building, and so he just went home. And I thought, oh my golly, I did all this work to get John to come, and then he couldn't figure out what door to come in, so he went home. You know, and, I mean, how dumb can we be? That it wasn't, but all the people who come regularly, they knew, either by trial and error or whatever, what door to go in, but he didn't know. And as a result, it was intimidating to him. So he didn't. You know what I think would be a good idea, Dean? And this is just my own idea. I think it would be a great idea for a minister to find somebody who doesn't normally go to church and get the board to pass and say, I would like to give you $150 as a visitor to come to our church. You've never been there before. You maybe go to another church, or you maybe don't go to church at all. I'm not going to say anything, but I just want to find from you your experience of what it was like to come to our church. how you found when the services were held, you know, you just decided you're going to come, nobody invited you, and how you responded to what was confusing to you, so on and so on. And when it's all over, for the $150, I just want to sit down with you for a half hour and you tell me how you responded to what went on. Okay, I think that would be a very wise expenditure of $150. And it might even get that person to come to church on a regular basis. But it would be a great learning process. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, kind of a mystery church visitor, as it were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of the church where you are, would a person know what to do? Would they know what door to go in? Would they know what time? You know, all the normal things that are blockage to people. How would they respond, having come for the very first time?
One of the things that we've done is we've tried to make those kinds of issues very clear on our website, so that if someone finds us through the website, we tell them, if you're handicapped, which door you need to go through to access the building in a way that would be easier for a handicapped person to do. And we have a section on our website that talks about what our worship services are like, what they can expect. So there is some effort made in that regard. And obviously, the pastor has ultimate responsibility for these kinds of things, to do the strategic thinking. But I do think that the reality is, most situations is the pastor is going to need a lot of help.
Oh, no question about
certainly,
that.
He or she certainly can't do all of the work involved in handling all of these areas. In thinking through strategically, one of the things a pastor needs to do is think about the talented people that might help him or her execute the very ideas we're talking about in this particular podcast.
Yeah, I think that you could get somebody to volunteer the $150 and say, I know just who I want to have come as the outsider and give us his or her opinion of what's going on. I think those are good. They're great ideas.
Recap for us. Will you give us that sentence again that kind of sums up our podcast for today?
Okay, I wrote it down. Can I read it?
Or sure, please do.
I'm not going to look at you. I'm just going to look at what I wrote in the note. Because long before the message, most visitors have already made up their minds about whether or not they will return for a second time. Ministers would do well to not think exclusively about their sermons. So in other words, if you're thinking all the time about what am I going to preach, but you haven't figured out, so how are people going to respond when they come to this? And what about the person who has a young infant, what does the nursery look like? What if they come with teenagers? You know, how do I make sure that the person in the youth group gets to those kids? You know, just everything is just kind of processing from the mind of the visitor. That's the idea. I would be happy. Somebody want to offer me $150? I'd be happy to give my impressions, okay?
Very good.
I could pretend I'm a terrible sinner, okay?
And they'd also have to pay travel expenses, right?
That's correct. That's just part of the thing.
Part of the deal.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for our time together today. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where you'll find resources to help pastors create effective life-transforming sermons. As we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.